This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive innit, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Yes! Oh my that god, worked. We're back in the fucking building. Rubbish Ragged Nathan, Tom Davis, Wolf and Owl, all up in your fucking grill.
Yo.
What's the deal?
Can you feel that howl? Can you feel that howl?
Gosh.
Can you feel that twirl? Yeah. Oh my god, that's kind of like... You like leapt forward on your chair, on your haunches almost. Like, literally, I got a little indication of what it must be like to sort of like get you really like nice and horny.
Yeah, I'm trying to think when that last happened. Charlie 7. So. how are you, man? You good?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. You know, the weather is nice.
Oh,
the
weather is good. So sick. Unfortunately, I've got Zoom meetings all day, but the weather is nice.
Are you going to not get out at all in the weather and just like...
I'm going to go out a bit later on, I think.
Family thing?
Possibly. Possibly. I don't know yet. I'll have to see. I want to take the kids out, do you know what I mean? So we'll see.
That sounded like the saddest sentence I've ever heard. You're going to suggest to Lisa and go, so I really want to take the kids out in the sun, like maybe run around the park. And Lisa's like, Robbie, I don't think so.
Yeah, do you know the maddest thing is that I still experience rejection in my marriage. And I thought once you got married that I'm not talking about sexual rejection. That is something I don't even ask now. But I'm talking about like going out for lunch and, you know, like date rejection. It's quite tough. I feel like on a day-to-day basis, I sort of get nervous about if I've got a lunchtime free, just sort of saying to Lisa, I was wondering if maybe you'd like to go out with me for...
I was thinking whether you wanted to go to Ask in Crawley. Oh, you know what? So Matt, me and Catherine had literally this conversation this week. And I've been trying to do that thing of like, we need a little romantic date. We need like, you know, since Grace is born, new parents would know, like you get into a situation where it's all about the baby.
You have to put time aside for yourselves as a couple.
Yeah. We know this is the worst thing. Our time aside has been watching Below Deck Australia down under, right? And that's finished now. So last couple of nights, we've just started laid in bed and watched like old episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I'm like, we need to do something, yeah, a little bit more. We need to have a little more romance. We've got a nice little week away with my parents and Grace, and we're going to have a little chill blade.
That sounds like an absolute shag fest.
My mum and dad are very open-minded.
Make sure you get oiled up for that one, mate.
I think my mum and dad are still both in absolute shock that I've even had sex.
Yeah, I know.
And actually, the way that Graham was what we were going to call her.
Graham's the guy that you hired in to give Catherine a scene to because you haven't got the goods anymore, right?
No, but the thing is, in my mum and dad said, I could still be a virgin.
I think my mum would prefer it if I was a virgin. I genuinely
really?
Do. Yeah, I just think... She would prefer that I hadn't ever had sex. I don't want my Romy sallying himself with that dirty, dirty activities.
Do you know anyone who's still a virgin?
Do I know anyone who's still a virgin? No, but I do know I'll have to double check with him if he's all right. I won't name him, but I'll have to double check with him if he's all right about me talking about this. But there's a mate of ours who's sort of part of the core group who you met the other night when you came to that gig.
Oh, really? He was one of those? Now just in my mind just thinking who it was.
And he never settled down. He never really had relationships and shit like that. And he was like one of these guys. I don't know if you have these guys in your group that who's quite fussy. So even like... Let me just say,
male or female, right?
Yeah.
Fussiness is a dog shit way of being. Like fussy, you can't be too like the ever crazy fussiness. I've got friends, male and female.
What a lovely thing for Catherine to hear when she tunes into this. You just got to settle. You've just got to fucking get whatever you can get and settle.
Let's be so truthful. In my relationship, I think we can all see who's settled.
Every morning, Catherine.
I don't think that's a bone
every
of contention morning, for anyone.
Every morning, Catherine and Lisa getting up, looking in the mirror, and going, let's just make peace with the decisions we've made. Anyway,
like the guy who didn't get on Drake's boat.
Just every now and again, Lisa just out and about bumps into a guy that she used to go to school with, that she could have been with.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're still real... you're keeping a good nick, aren't you? Yeah.
It's a real good kick, big kick for me and you. You wake up every morning, not to an alarm clock, but a sigh.
Oh, it's still him. It's not a fucking 12-year dream that I've woken up from.
It wasn't just a fucking nightmare.
Anyway, this guy, this mate of mine, he used to, like, he didn't want to settle. He's, like, quite fussy. And so, like, he never really got into a relationship. And he never really played the field massively either. He just was kind of, like, just a bit fussy. And I thought for a bit, maybe he's just one of these people that doesn't ever want to be in a relationship, which is totally legitimate. Obviously, as blokes in your 20s, you know, everyone was asking questions of him. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Anyway, long story short, he's the only one of us that hasn't settled down now. He is having more sex than anyone I've ever met. I mean, it's just insane because he's still in the game. Do you know what I mean? He's still in the game. Just
he's in the last ranks of the game. I'm gonna throw it out like this, bro.
Yeah, right?
It's no different from Premier League football because there's a time where, like, you know, certain players like Rio, Frank, whatever, they retire at the top. They retire with that dignity of like, yeah, I went out at the top, right?
Yeah, I retired in the fucking Sunday leagues.
but that's a nice way of describing Lisa. So you retired after coming off the bench in the Champions League final. Then what happens is all of a sudden you're a little bit slower than everyone else in the field. Yeah, and everyone's sort of knocking the ball around you and you're not quite the player that you used to be.
Yeah.
And not many clubs want to sign you. So then you're sort of like scrambling about for anyone that you might, and then you end up not at the club that you want to be at.
Yeah. I've got to be honest, I'm really looking forward to checking with him if it's all right to talk like this. It's cool. But thanks for that. Thanks for guaranteeing.
Well, no, you know what? I'll make him sound better. I've got a friend who, like, this is about 5-6 years ago. We all went out races. You know, everyone sort of went back to a pal's house after. We were having some beer and all, have a few got a bit wavy, a bit boozy.
I know how it goes.
And our friend confessed to us that he was a virgin.
Right.
And he's like, so...
What, how old is this?
So we'd have been 37 at the time. Okay. I kind of respected him more than anyone else I've ever met in my life because he just came out of it. He just dropped it.
How did the conversation lead to that point? Was everyone talking about shagging or something like that?
Well, I think we were talking about our settling down and our lives and stuff and sort of like your pal that you're talking about. There's a couple of guys who sort of, a couple of fellas who've been divorced, whatever. People talk, it's a sort of chat, it's sort of chat that adults have. And then he just came out of it, out of nowhere.
And what was your response? I'm hoping you're going to tell me that you're incredibly supportive and lovely about it.
Yeah, man, I was just like, no, actual shock, if I'm honest with you, like, because, like, he's been caught up in all the bravado of being a fucking, playing in the same football team and everything, and he's always said that he's been a bit of a, he's had girlfriends and he's had people around him, and out of nowhere, he just dropped that.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, fuck. To be fair, it stumped the room. There was a couple of dickheads there.
There will be. But look, the truth is, no matter how good your group of mates are, groups of males... Are a difficult beast to tackle when it comes to things like that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But then I've seen him subsequently a couple of times and he seems like he's just made a that's just it now. He's just like, fucking, I'm a virgin, that's it. I don't know whether he's asexual or he's just like...
Well, he might well be. He might well be. I mean,
he's
like,
just got no intention of losing his virginity.
Yeah.
But now he's probably held on to it for so long. He just thinks, oh, fuck it, I might see if I can just get through, like, you know. I guess it's the thought of sex is quite daunting now for him, right?
Well, the thought of sex is quite daunting, full stop, I think. I mean, for the first time that you do lose... Well, not the first time you do lose your virginity, it doesn't grow back. But when you lose your virginity, sort of, you know that moment where you think... Well, you think you're close to losing your virginity. It's such a heady, fucking, like, weird fucking moment, isn't it? Just, it's going to happen. I'm getting my dick out now. I'm going to put it inside of a JJ now. Oh my God. I'm losing my virginity at this moment. It's actually happening. I'm no longer a virgin. Insane.
You know what it's like. You know, like
I actually screamed that out loud. By the way, that wasn't in my head.
You know, you know, it's like, you know when you go on a big roller coaster.
Yeah.
And it's like you've got all the little bit to take it up to the top bit where it's just about to drop, and you're a bit like the anxiety of going, I'm not sure if I should have gotten this. Like this feels quite. Actually, feels a lot. I don't know if I'm mentally prepared for this thing. And then by the time you get to the top, you're like, you're just in it. I found it for years the most anxious thing.
Yeah, I mean...
I genuinely look at my friend and I'm like, I felt like just going, you know what, mate? It's great, but it isn't the big fuss that everyone's... It's a bit like, you know, people are like, you know, it's like you and our mate Jeff, you know? You know, how heady and crazy you get about sort of Star Wars or anything to do with Star Wars, right? It's just like, yeah, it's all right.
I think any sexual partner I've ever had in my life has had to sort of contemplate whether... Having sex with me is worth me asking them if that was all right for them 27 times afterwards.
How did it sort of compare
to sort of other times you've done? Was that okay? Like you had a good time, didn't you? It's something you would do again. I'm like a fucking asking for a trip advisor of you.
You're like a needy waiter.
Yeah. Do you think you'd come really again? Could you fill out this card? It just helps with tips and improve the service going forward.
I'm sorry that I spilt your soup.
Sorry I spilt my soup so early. Can I share something? So we can go into this detail about this. I just want to deal with this very quickly. So for reasons that I can't go into details on, and it was down to me, we had to pull, through no fault of my own, we had to pull our show at 21 Soho, the last of the shows at 21 Soho, and I had to pull my solo show the next day. I just want to share this with you, right? Bearing in mind, we didn't say what, and I can't say what at the moment, but I will do at some point, explain why it isn't. But it was serious, right? It was like, you know, there's no way that we could have done the shows. And I hate pulling shows, and we were having a fucking great week, by the way.
But great days.
That was, Tom, I'm going to say this to you now, some of my favourite times at work in recent years, man. It was just fucking so much fun doing brand new stand-up with one of my best mates. Just, it doesn't get much better than that.
Let me shout out all the crowd. Incredible. Both nights.
Incredible. Electric. Except for three people. They know who they are. But
there's three people who are absolute egg. And also, shame on you for your behaviour after, if it wasn't enough to almost try and completely destroy one of the shows, you then became so aggressive with all of the... And also, like, it's a weird thing. Like, the young lad who was sort of in charge of sort of, like, I guess our security, he was, like, coming in, he was full on, like they'd been grabbing at him and
it's mad. And he was coming through to the green room area and they were like trying to chase after him.
Siri.
Oh, by the way, I've changed my Siri to an Indian accent.
Have you?
Yeah, hold on. Let me just show you. I didn't realise you could do it, but you can do it. Hold on. Hey Siri, what's the time?
It's 8:54 AM.
Did you hear that?
That's genius. What other accents can you have?
You can have, like, I think you can have a woman's voice, a standard British, like a, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'll have a look at that.
Shows were cancelled, right? I get a message from a woman. Now, this woman, just to give some context, has messaged me regularly, sort of like, big fan, enjoyed this, enjoyed that. This is the message she sent me after the shows were cancelled, right?
Yeah.
So angry to turn up to 21 Soho earlier to find out your gig was cancelled. The cancellation went to my junk mail. I feel like poking you in your other eye. A very angry fan.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
I mean, that is fucking full on, isn't it?
That's so aggressive. Let me just say, actually, a number of people messaged who had travelled some way for the gigs.
Yeah, sorry. I'm so sorry.
upset, obviously. And shout out to all of them. And I messaged every one of them back to say, look, we're next time we do a gig, me and Romesh are looking at a number of places in the north. And I rest assured, wherever we are, we'll make sure that people who had tickets and could get there and had to travel or didn't have to, whatever, you'll be looked after. You know, as Romesh says, there's nothing we could do. And as I said to anyone who messaged, and shout out to all of you sweet souls, because you're all very decent people. You all understood, really. Aside for that,
there were loads of supportive messages, weren't there?
It's just that, man, you know what? I'm not even going to focus on that Bellend who's done that, because that's just not on.
It's not on. It's not in the keeping of the wolf and owl.
I think we celebrate the masses who walk around with smiles on their face, knowing that we'd never ever want to let anyone down.
We do frequently, yeah. But we don't want to.
Yeah. But they're all people we're related to or friends.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it being back on stage.
Mate,
it felt very liberating. I actually think that was some of my favourite times I've ever had on stage.
Mate, it was so much fun. I do think the best bit of doing stand up is when you do it running in new stuff. I think when you go on tour, touring is really fun, and it's like one of my favourite things to do. I probably prefer that to doing most stuff that I do in my work. But when you're in the tour, you've got the show locked in pretty much. I mean, you do deviate from it, but it is pretty much locked in. But think of an idea that day.
Yeah, man.
And saying it on stage. And when he gets that first laugh, what a fucking buzz, man. It's incredible.
It was high fives all around, man. Good couple of beers had. It was, yeah. Oh, you know what as well, man? I went to China after our show on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Chinatown. I went to Wonky. Shout out to all the staff. I don't know for a fact that none of the staff at Wonky's listen to this, but shout them out anyway, because I love them. Ron, like, I would say, without any shadow of a doubt, it's the most gluttonous I've ever been in my life.
Wow. And that is a big shout. So talk me through what'd you eat?
I went with my pals. Yeah. Shout out Tommy Power.
Were you not able to get hold of me or something? It's just
In all fairness, if you want me to get into it, like literally, I had to stand with a load of people chatting to them. I looked around and you had just gone. I was there with Antonia and the guys were off the curb. We were having like a chat. I was like, "Where's Rom? You're like a fucking magic act." I'm fucking being in a friendship with a fucking like disappear. Essentially, you know, this is the. I'm going to make it cool for you because I know that you need this in your life right now. You're essentially Batman. I feel like fucking Commissioner Gordon in our friendship sometimes. I'm having a conversation with you, we're having a right laugh, I look round and you're gone.
Can I tell you honestly?
And it's always when the fucking shit hits the fan and Tony's, oh, there's some people outside who want a picture. Oh, where's Batman? Oh, he's fucking snuck off in his Batmobile driven by Jim.
No, listen. Let me just explain what happened here, okay? Because I didn't realise this is such a sore point. is basically... We went to leave. We need to be shown out the back door because there were some aggressive types like banging on the door to the green room, right? So we were shown out the back door. And then what happened was, I thought I was walking out with you, right? This is genuinely what happened. So I thought I was walking out with you. It's like a trail of us. The girls from off the curb, you.
You make this sound a lot more entourage than it actually was.
Yeah, sorry. But it was like, anyway, it's a couple of girls from off the curb. Sorry, that's really bad.
It's like Faye and Tony.
Yeah, Faye, Antonio, like and Holly. So it's like
all looking, thinking, why have we got to walk around with these dickheads so we can just go and get a beer?
So they're all desperate to go for dinner. And we're like, we need to be walked out, actually. Now, so anyway.
Also, that they had to come and look after us because there were three aggressive women banging on the door.
So then what happened was, is I walked out and I think you got held up in a conversation. And when I got outside, those three women that were in the show were waiting for us out by the door. Right. And so I got collared by them, right? And so then what happened was they asked for a photo and then, as seems to be happening a lot to me recently, started getting angry with me for the face I was doing in the photo and saying that I wasn't sort of committing to the photo well enough and the photo wasn't good enough and blah, blah, blah. So then I said, I reckon, rough estimate, 9 photos with them, right?
Yeah.
And then other people came up and asked for photos. And so I was doing photos and all cool, I'm not complaining. But nobody was a problem except for these three really drunk women. So then I started to move away from them. And what became clear was, as long as I was waiting for you, they were going to be asking for photos just nonstop, just constantly. And then having a go at me about the photo, how the photo was. Like, it was just like, it's quite unpleasant.
They were absolutely battered, weren't they?
They were hammered. Then I started walking away and Holly said to me, I'm going to walk you to the end here just because this is getting a bit like funky. And as I was walking, they were chasing after me, shouting at me. It was mental.
Wow.
It was absolutely mental. So
let's also reiterate that this show finished at about 7:15.
I know, it wasn't even a late night. It was mad.
Fuck.
Yeah, they were like hammered.
I came out to some very
sorry. So can I just apologise? Apologise for that.
Mate, that's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Wonkies, I'm not sure what they even do in there that's actually vegan. It's really old school. Like, it's, yeah.
Well, I went to Mildred's for dinner.
You went to Mildred's?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
What do you mean, there we go?
Well, Mildred's is very posh, right?
No, it's not. It's not posh at all. Posh. It's not posh. It's Mildred's, cool, no, isn't it? No, Mildred's is not posh or cool. It's,
how much is an average dinner at Mildred's?
By the way, this sounds bad that I know this, but I do pay attention to stuff like this. My main was...
Oh, no, you analyse a bill like no one else I've ever met.
Don't say life. That. Don't say that. I don't.
You're like, okay, so Tom had the...
No, I don't. No, don't. Because people are going to...
Belly.
No, because people are going to believe you. No, I do pay...
How many beers should you have, Tom? Because I counted two, but I went out for a fag. No, I don't. There's a half here. There's a half pint. Did someone top up a pint with a half?
No, I do pay attention because I think vegan meals get a premium stuck on them. Do you know what I mean? They get a posh people's tax put on them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, I had
that, or they get a chef's like, I can't be fucked to cook this.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell him it's 30 quid. Fucking hopefully they'll eat some meat then. I got a Korean, what was it? A Korean fried chicken burger, vegan, obviously.
Oh, nice.
With fries, and that was 15 quid, which I think is quite steep for a burger and chips. But nowadays, that's kind of what you're paying in London. Do you know what I mean?
Me and my guys, we sat down to a buffet, like a massive buffet.
Well, I'd be out straight away then. I don't do buffets. But anyway, go on.
It was like loads of sharing food and all that. 90 quid, food and drinks, everything. And that was a lot of food.
Right.
To the point where I think my tummy was full for at least 36 hours afterwards.
Mm.
Mm. I cram more food in. Because that's
Yeah,
how
of course
I roll,
you did, yeah,
but...
because you don't want to feel comfortable on the way home, do you? you want to be full of food and regret. That's what you want. You want to just be sitting there, you're just bashing your belly, going, what have I done it again? Fuck's sake, Tom.
In Wonkies, mate, you get a crispy pork belly with hot duck, barbecued, on hot rice, and that is about six, seven quid.
When you say hot rice, what do you mean, hot rice? Is it spicy?
No, just hot. Is it like the meats are cold on the top and then you get hot rice. It's good. I'd say anyone who likes their barbecued food and their Chinese cuisine, go get yourself down to Wonkies and get that dish.
Is it Wonkies or Wonkies? Because you've pronounced it differently throughout this story.
I'm not, Wonkies, I think.
How's it spelled?
Well, it's Wonkeis. Wonkies.
Wonkies, I think. Okay, all right.
When I was a youngster, my father's best friend, well, still is, Willie, who's like had Chinese restaurants all around the area I was brought up in, Cushall and Sutton, Kingston. And we used to celebrate Chinese New Year, so we used to go to Wonkies with him. And it would just been one of my favourite times as a kid. We'd all go downstairs at Wonkies. That's the first time I tried chicken feet.
So how do they prepare the chicken feet?
Like deep fried.
And then you actually eat, like you bite into the, you eat the whole foot.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's, you're nibbling between the toes. Yeah, there's not much meat on it, but it's a,
what? Are you serious?
Mate, it's genuinely one of my favorite, Chinese New Year. I love the food. I love just the sitting around and just watching people eating and having fun.
Okay.
It's any big celebration of food, I love.
Yeah, all right. But this particular visit to Wonkies was the most gluttonous you've ever been there,
mate. It's the most gluttonous. I think it was buzzing after coming off the show out of the show.
Yeah,
I knew that I couldn't.
I mean, the way you were talking, it's like I hadn't been on stage. I mean, it's just like, whoa, another fucking show in the bag. Woo. Sort of sat back like fucking.
You were still, if I'm honest with you, you were still going through the rider and working out who'd spent what.
Why are you doing this? People are gonna.
So hold up, no. Tom had two Coca-Colas and one bag of Walker's crisps.
People are gonna believe you. You keep saying this.
Hey, you've got that vibe. That's all.
Do I really have the vibe of being tight-fisted?
No, you can be generous at times.
Okay, that makes it sound like I'm not. Okay.
No, you can. When we were in Dublin, you brought the first round and let everyone know about it.
drinks for everyone on Ramesh.
Okay, beer for all of the crew and for Tom and myself. And then you just sat on the edge of your seat, downed your pint, and was going, oh, plainly to the minute, is someone else going to buy a round? I'll get you a beer on the plane.
That leaves us just enough time for me to be fully reimbursed for my initial investment.
Have you ever been out with anyone who's brought a drink, who's brought a round, and then they're going home and they go, oh, do you want another beer before you go? And I'll just get the money.
What?
Yeah, I've got a mate who does that.
Well, I don't want to judge people because people are going through it. You know, people go through it.
Yeah, no. But he's been doing that since fucking 1997.
I remember we were my group of mates were like, there was a girl that I think my brother or one of the guys used to go to school with, and she started coming out with the lads.
Yeah.
Like, it's all blokes and her. And there's nothing, you know, no issue with that at all. Like, she'd come out a lot. And then we bumped into somebody she knew who said, I don't know if this is bad or not, actually, who said, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Said they love coming out of you because they've been coming out of you for 6 months and never bought a drink.
Yeah.
And
then
I was like, oh, is that, that doesn't.
It's such a kick in the cock, that, isn't it? Because it's like a little feeling.
It did change the, it did undermine the whole, it didn't undermine the whole last 6 months. I wouldn't say that was.
We had a guy when I was growing up called used to come out of us, and he never
don't have to name him. Don't have to name him. Absolutely don't have to name him. JT, can you bleep that out, please? Yeah, go on.
He never brought a drink the whole time.
Right.
We came out. Like, he just never, ever, ever wanted. He just didn't want to work. He used to say that, like, I think working's for mugs.
I don't think that's bad a statement. But I mean, if working's for mugs,
yeah, but he was, by the way, in the top five handsome people I've ever seen in the flesh.
Right, okay.
He was beautiful. Yeah. He had incredible eyes, right?
You think I'd be like, in the top 100?
Mate, you'd be in my top three. Because you know why? Because of your spirit.
It's the sort of thing that your mum says to you, and then you go off to school feeling like got a bit of spring in your step, and then you get rejected all over again.
To the fucking Greg sausage roll studs against the side of your head from the fucking upper floor of the bus.
Took that sausage roll with spirit, you wanker. You told one of your mates, and he's let everyone know that that's what your mum said to you. Then you start getting called spirit as a nickname. Sticks with you for years.
They call you spirit because you're so deep. Nah, about 10 years ago, my mum said that I was quite attractive because I was that sort of spirit. Cue a laughter that just ricocheted from club wall to club wall.
Oh, God.
But he used to do a thing because my group of friends at the time, I think we were all, none of us were aesthetically pleasing, probably. You know, we needed to re-up and we needed a real handsome face within our group. So he joined the group as like the sort of, he was our sort of like handsome friend, right? So very charming. But he'd get dates, and because he didn't work, right, he would then basically borrow money off us to go on his dates.
And you'd happily give him the money because he's the alpha, right? He would be the alpha. Yeah.
This is one of the most tragic, right? His mum was a club singer, so she used to go and like travel all over sort of Spain and fucking England doing singing in clubs. And she had a relatively pretty nice house just like where we used to all live. And he used to basically have this free house from the age of about 15. So we used to all have jobs, and we used to go to his house and he'd be going on a date. And then we'd all basically pitch in and give him enough money to go out for this really nice date. Where he'd go out with the girl. And then he'd come back and he'd just be like, yeah, it went really, really well, actually. Yeah, I'm going to definitely see her again. So sort of probably need like another 30, 40 quid to sort of take her out again. And we were like, oh, wow, yeah. Oh, God, I really hope that it works. Like we're an industry working for him just to have a love life.
Does every group of blokes have a bloke like that? Because we had a bloke like that who cameoed in the group for about a year or so. Just really fucking good-looking geezer. Oh, and he would just do stuff that none of us could do. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, my brother, the force is strong in my brother when it comes to that sort of thing. He's pretty, like, he's pretty good. But this guy used to, like, we'd go out and he just, like, he would talk to girls and they would talk back to him. It was like magic.
Oh, yeah.
It's like having a fucking Avenger as one of your mates. Do you know what I mean?
You know the other thing about him? He could dance like I've never seen.
Yeah, it's a big skill. That's a big skill.
He was the first person I met as well who could DJ, properly, like, yeah, DJ.
Mm.
He used to be able to turn up at a party. He'd have basically, like, yeah, why would he need money? He could play, he was amazing on the decks, he could dance, and he was really, 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 really charming. Why would you need money? I still question, I haven't seen him for fucking maybe 20 years. I still question now whether he's got a job or he's just got a fucking sad group of blokes like we were, who were in their 40s, who are paying for him now, and he's got three kids and this, essentially working in a sort of like sweatshop, just working to keep his life going in the way it has.
Yeah, he's sort of got an industry or whatever, he just started. Maybe maybe he went on to start Gymshark. How much easier do you think life is if you're hot?
Oh, man.
I think it's big, right? It's a big...
Massive.
In terms of like customer service, getting jobs,
mate,
just how people respond to you generally in everyday walks of life.
It is an absolute game changer.
Yeah.
The only way I could say it is like, me and you come back off holiday, or we've lost a little bit of timber, or we wear a nice shirt, and you get like an hour's window where you could look into sort of another world and go, oh, I don't feel as bad as I usually do.
Yeah,
and that's not even hot. I'm just saying we look a little bit better than
we usually do. I mean, we do have a version of it without being sort of too disgusting about it. But being recognised does give you an insight into what it must have been like to have been attractive.
But it's not the same. Like we have had to graft to get recognised because we're so fucking like we're both recognised because of the fact that we've always been at the bottom. Like, as I said before, me and you, if life was a dustbin, me and you would be that sort of. We'd be the bits that fell through the bin bag and were resting at the bottom of the bin.
Yeah. You know when you take the bin out and then you just get this sort of smelly dribble on your joggers and you think, what the fucking hell's that? That's me and Tom.
Well, that's Tom and Robert.
That's the Wolf and Owl. That's the Wolf and Owl on the inside of your thigh there.
But if you're really hot, you just, yeah. Oh. But you know James LaFront. You know James LaFront.
Oh, my God. I mean, that geezer, what a good-looking bloke.
But also, James is different because James is hot inside and out. He's like one of the nicest.
It does
people
annoy
you've
me.
Ever
He's got. It does annoy me. Look, I love James, but why has he got a personality? It's so annoying. Do you know what I mean?
Me.
Why is he bothered?
Also, he's funny. He's kind.
Yeah.
You look at him, you're just like, fucking hell. His mum has done an absolute storming job on James because he like. I don't think you could like. Yeah. You know, he's been my best friend since we were about 14.
Yeah.
Like for most of my life, I've been in a situation where someone will come up to me and just go, "Oh God, your mate's so hot." And I know who they're talking about. I know exactly who they're talking about. And the difference between the person I was talking about and James is James was just be completely like oblivious to it.
Mm.
Completely oblivious.
Well, that's
never taken advantage of it.
Whereas that's where James and I differ, because if I was attractive, I'd just be constantly noticing, like, oh, I think she's checking me out. I think she's checking me out. I think he's checking me out. Fucking hell, I can barely sit down.
I get excited if a dog snarls at me.
Oh, God.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddleboards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Your skin refuses to be defined by age. That's why Agency Design, Future Formula, a personalized anti-aging formula prescribed by a dermatology provider to treat fine lines, wrinkles, dark spots, and more. Agency has clinically proven ingredients like tretinoin, which is up to 20 times stronger than over-the-counter retinol. Future Formula by Agency. Get your first month free at withagency.com. That's withagency.com. $4.95 shipping and handling, subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Right, should we do some emails, my G?
Let's do it, my bro.
Okay. This is... just carrying on, by the way, from what we talked about before. Pebblegate.
Yeah.
People, this has gone massive, this Ask Pebble thing.
Yeah, let me just say as well, right? Anyone who's fucking bringing it as a bone of contention, it's everywhere. There's been a whole big thing at the moment about people sticking potatoes up their butts. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I haven't seen that.
Why
are people sticking potatoes out there?
Same sort of thing. People are freezing potatoes and sticking them out there. But I do not advocate that. Okay? And also, I must say this. Someone messaged me. Won't name them. Great person. Sweet, sweet soul. game changer, really. They said, why don't you have like a little sort of rockery in your garden, and that's where you use an ass pebble, and then you put your ass pebble out to the garden after you've used it once. That is advice. It's sound advice, and I think it's advice I'm going to take. So thank you so much.
What a nice little rockery for Catherine to look out at from your house. Oh, that's Tom's arse rockery, that is. And gets bigger every time we order from the Crown of India.
It's a mountain.
Can I tell you something?
By 2028.
I would rather have chips.
Would I take it with me if I moved house? I'd have to, wouldn't I? Actually, it's quite nice to leave it there.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't tell the prospective buyers.
No.
I would rather eat chips made from a potato that's been up someone's arse than sweet potato fries. There you go. I said it.
Wow.
Not, wow. I honestly, I'm not having them at all.
I've never seen you this angry about anything.
I just hate sweet potato fries. I mean, obviously, first of all, that's bullshit. I mean, this is another one of your things. Oh, why did I talk like that? It's another one of your things. Oh, my God. That is awful.
I hate sweet potato fries.
I just think they're awful. I hate them. I don't want them as an option.
I think you get them crispy enough and you get a nice bit of fucking Himalayan salt on those bad boys, a little bit of sriracha squeezed over.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. But all of that you've just described is better if you have it on regular fries.
Oh, of course, mate. You can't beat old school chips.
Yeah.
You can't. You can try, but you won't.
Yeah.
Like, let me just say to any scientists out there, any fucking nouvelle cuisine bakers, I'm going to say now, or cookers, right?
Fuck.
Let me just say now, leave it with chips, mate. Just leave it.
What does that
mean? All these polenta fries and zucchini fries, just leave it to the potato. It's been holding out society for the last, I don't know, 400 years or whatever, thousands of years probably even, actually. So just leave it, let the potato do his thing and just, like, go on and do something. I'll tell you what, mate, have a look at broccoli, because broccoli's letting the side down all day long.
What are you talking about?
Mate, broccoli is an absolute disgrace to any plate.
What a load of shit. I eat broccoli because I have to.
I still look at broccoli like I did when I was like first learning to eat. I eat it because I know it's good for me, but it's the first thing that's gone on my plate.
I just think broccoli can be. Look, but at least broccoli's not masquerading as a junk food, right? You eat broccoli. Broccoli knows what it is, okay? It's a healthy option.
You know what I think? I think the reason you're being like this is because if you were on a plate, you would be broccoli.
Why are you so horrible to me?
I'm not. I'm joking. You know I love you more.
You're so horrible to me.
No, yeah, but you're saying that you love broccoli.
I'm telling you this now. Broccoli, right? Stir fried, chili flakes, nice bit of seasoning, bangs, okay? That's all I'm going to say about it, right?
Yeah, but that's the same thing with sweet potato fries.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I'm going to say it now. I'm going to throw it out there, mate. If I go to your house, right, and you're cooking and you're going to trouble, put some sprouts on my plate. I'd literally get up, shake you by the hand, and I'd tell everyone I know that you're
broccoli's,
a fucking renegade.
Broccoli's better than sprouts.
No way, that's insane.
Yes, 100%, all day long.
Turnip, better than broccoli. No. I think every vegetable, zucchini, eggplant, everything. Do you know what I mean? It's all
Sorry, Chad. What's zucchini and fucking eggplant? Do you mean courgette and aubergine?
Yeah, man, that's what I mean.
Oh my god!
If I was in a nightclub and you brought broccoli out with you, I'd just say that you know to tell your mate to go home, mate. He's fucking.
Well, it's good to know because I'm often carrying around a fucking bag of broccoli, the vault. Okay, dear Swan, Cat, Wolf, and Owl. This is from the floppy-eared rabbit. I'm 27 years old and one of your international listeners from Frankfurt, Germany.
Wow.
And I just got...
That's weird and sane.
Oh, God, I've got the fucking giggles. and I just... I discovered your podcast a few months ago. Since then, I've been listening to all episodes and now caught up with the current one. So I thought I'd email in. Before I get to my actual question, I need to weigh in on Pebblegate. I suffer from hemorrhoids every now and again and have a pebble I keep in a little box in the freezer. Whenever I have hemorrhoids, I take my pebble, I stick it up my bum, and I keep it there for a few minutes. Due to the cold temperature, the hemorrhoids contract and move in again. An absolute lifesaver.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That is validation.
Yeah, it is validation.
In Germany.
It is validation. Yeah.
And oh, that's my where, God. I want to get a flight out to Frankfurt right now. Yeah. Literally get there, take a pebble of my own, and then just chink pebbles like a toast.
Okay. What a wonderful evening that would be. Count me out. On to my actual question. So anyway, congratulations, Tom. It turns out that there's actually medical evidence here that it works.
Yeah.
On to my actual question. I'm currently working in a full-time job. I'm doing a master's degree on top of that. I'm finding it really hard to find time to relax on the weekends. That's the only time I have to write my thesis. I need to hand it in by the end of September. So my question is, what do you do to relax during really stressful periods? Grateful for any advice.
Yo, floppy ear rabbit, number one. I just feel this kindred spirit with you right now. I just feel like hands across the ocean, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, two great minds. So shout out for you and shout out your pebble for all its hard work that it's doing with your hemorrhoids. I would say that I actually struggle a little bit with this myself. I'd be lying if I had an answer to this, because I've actually this week, me and Catherine have had long chats about me not being able to relax and me not being able to, me and Ron, we were busy with the gigs and I've been busy with other stuff. And sometimes you get caught up in, work and, wanting to work as hard as you can. I think some part of that for me, as is Ron, I think we both suffer from this imposter syndrome. Anyway, this isn't about me, champ, it's about you. I'd say that most good work, anyway, is done if you can find a way of actually sort of chilling out and zenning out. I find like going for a long walk, I find it's amazing. I think like having a little bit of time away from your desk, just to go and do something with a loved one or, just to go out to some friends, a couple of drinks. Probably the worst way for me if we're trying to work, and I do it all the time and it never really helps me, is just sitting in front of a computer, willing yourself to be able to do something and bullying yourself and going, right, I need to get this done. I need to get that done. I need to get this done. And nothing ever really comes of it, because you'll just end up disliking the thing that you're doing. I'm blessed that what I do, I love what I do for a living. But at times it can be quite taxing. So, I think it's just sitting down, enjoying it, but taking a little bit of time, taking some time for yourself, taking some time with family. And then when you do go to do your thesis or you do go to do your work, you've had that little respite. So I could have probably done that in about fucking half the time I did. But floppy-eared rabbit.
I like the way you did it.
Love you, Jim.
Floppy-eared rabbit, thank you so much for validating Tom's pebble advice. This is my advice to you with regards to relaxation. It's something that's really helped me. Is it doesn't matter what you do, because there's loads of different things you can do to relax. What does matter is that you compartmentalize the time. And what I mean by that is when you're working and you've got a lot of work on, which it sounds like you do, the mistake that people make is they try and just find relaxation time mixed in around their other things. What you want to do is, if you've got to work on your thesis, allocate some time to work on your thesis. And when you've done that time, you go, I'm in relaxation time now. And you do not think about work. You just completely disconnect from work entirely. And that is about relaxation. Because I've had days where I've had days off and I thought I could do some writing today, but I do also want to relax. And then I've fallen in between those two stools for the entire day. And I get to the end of the day and I haven't done any work and I also haven't relaxed. So my advice to you is to separate and allocate yourself some proper protected relaxation time, completely protected. You're not even looking at anything work related. And I think you'll find that makes a massive difference. And then whatever it is you want to do beyond that is up to you, really. But whatever you do, commit to it like you're committing to work. So if that's playing video games, you commit to playing video games like if you're committing to your thesis. Do you know what I mean? And that would be my advice to you. Thank you very much for your email. Here is a bit of an uplifting little ting-ting.
Oh, my favourite.
This is from The Leopard and the Koala.
Oh!
There's a photo with this, which I won't share, but it's lovely. Dear Wolf, Owl and Swan.
What sort of photo? Just describe the photo, please.
Okay, it's The Leopard and the Koala, who are a man and a woman who are in a couple, sat on their honeymoon. And they've both got sunglasses on. They look like they're having a really relaxing time. He's got quite a drippy watch on. She looks lovely, actually. Very nice summery outfit. They look like they're very much in love.
Shoes, sandals, flip-flops.
The shoes aren't in the thing. But based on their outfits, I'm going to guess flip-flops, based on what they're wearing.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Dear Wolf, Owl and Swan, I'm sat listening on my honeymoon with my gorgeous wife, the koala. I just wanted to say a big thank you for all the positive vibes this podcast has been dishing out for the last year. I've been listening from the start, and it's been a highlight of my week to listen to the two of you. I'm a fairly big bloke, always have been, and beach holidays have always come with a tinge of self-consciousness about showing off my body. Oh, mate, we've been there. The one thing that's always given me some confidence to combat this has been my hair. I've been lucky enough to be blessed with a strong hairline, so much so that it's something that I regularly got compliments about and made me feel good about my overall appearance. The koala and I finally got married in February after having our original date cancelled because of lockdown. On the day, I felt great. Drippy suit, good hair and looking the best I had in a while. However, a week after the wedding, I developed alopecia. My hair started falling out in larger and larger chunks. The one thing that's always been my self-esteem saving grace had given up on me. Having tried numerous treatments from the doctors, nothing seemed to be working and the bald spots got larger and more frequent across my head. As our honeymoon approached, I felt more and more nervous about being sat around the pool with my leopard print head and dad bod on show. I decided the only option was to shave it all off and wait for it to all grow back, hopefully, at some point. I decided to Google bald men with beards. This is wonderful, by the way. To give me an idea of how I might look and who should appear in the search but the wolf in all his big, bald, beardy, drippy glory. That was it. I decided to do it that day and brave the shave a day before we flirt on honeymoon. I'm now sat behind by the pool, proudly sporting my shaved head and dad bod and feeling the most relaxed and least self-conscious I have for a long... Oh, my God, man, this is so fucking...
Wow, I'm literally getting...
Me too, man.
Tingles, like goosebumps.
Seeing the wolf rock the look and hearing the countless you do use and amazing advice you two have dished out on the podcast has been a major factor in helping me make the decision to own my look, so thank you. Also, the biggest shout-out to the gorgeous koala who makes me feel amazing every day, no matter what. Thanks again, my guys, the leopard and the koala.
Wow, man.
Oh, my God. Wow. What an email. What an email.
That's a top shelfer right there, baby. That's, like, genuinely, I feel like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm kind of speechless. And, like, I shout you out because you're an absolute legend, man. That's, like, that's a phenomenal thing to write in and say. And good for you.
Do you know what? I'm going to say this to you, Leopard. You could not tell from your photo. You look fucking great. You look so happy. You two are such a gorgeous couple. You couldn't tell that you've been going through that show. You look brilliant, man. I'm so... Oh, my God. I feel like I've had like a fucking good mood fucking injection or something like that, man.
Mate, that's... You know what? Genuinely, I feel like so fucking... Like, that's crazy, man. That's like, what a beautiful thing. And like, you know that, like, people like that, like, I just find inspirational. Like, that is...
I do. I totally agree.
That's an incredible thing right there. And like... Absolutely. Oh, there's nothing really you could, like, he's both of them legends and so happy. And you know what makes you really happy is that they found each other, they've got each other. And that's what life's all about. So, you know what? I just toast you both for a long, happy marriage. And yeah, so much love to you both.
I'm going to say this on behalf of the Wolf and Our podcast. We would love to get your honeymoon present. So if you give us your address on email, we'll send you a little bundle of merch to say congratulations. Bing, bing, bing. Thanks so much for your email, man. Oh my God, I feel incredible.
Wow, how are you going to top that?
Well, let's not put pressure on the.
I wouldn't want to follow that with one of my sum ups. So
yeah. So this is an advice request, and it's quite a long email. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to get my best reading voice out on here. Dear Wolf, Owl, Swan, and Cat, Sprocker Spaniel. Oh fuck my life, Sprocker Spaniel here. Would appreciate anonymity and I apologise for the length of this email. First of all, can I say that I love the podcast? As someone who's never into any podcasts, yours was the first I gave any time to. It's the best decision I ever made. It's almost served as a gateway drug into other... Oh dear, that's a shame. As I listen to a few others now, but still none hold a candle to this one. Anyway, I'm in need of some in-law advice. I thought it said law advice. I thought, fucking hell, you really have turned to the wrong people. And who better to turn to than you sweet souls to provide it? I live with my wife and 4-year-old daughter. My mother-in-law has basically started this thing where she asks if she can stay at our house whenever she visits. Oh, my God. On top of it being weird as fuck to think this is normal, there are a few other things that make this even more annoying to me. One, she separated from my father-in-law, who's an absolute legend, by the way, and remarried another guy a few years ago. I can tell my wife isn't fully 100% on this guy, but it's like her mum is trying to force us all into loving this guy. Two, we live in a 3-bed house, but the spare third bedroom has no bed and serves as my wife's dressing room. Where the fuck her mum thinks she's sleeping is beyond me. Three, they live within a 20-minute drive from us, so they can easily go home. I'm all for people stopping a bit. I'm all for people stopping a bit later, but when it comes to bedtime, call me old-fashioned, but having other adults in my house when I get ready for bed makes me feel like I'm in a Louis Theroux documentary. Lastly, they aren't the best company. They sit on their phones for 75% of the time on Facebook. They're the sort of people that don't watch factual news but like to get their news from Facebook. You know the type. The other 25% of the time, they seem to fish for arguments with me and my wife or just to disagree with anything we say or make comments that will annoy us. The mother-in-law's hubby is the kind of guy that's always done better than you. If you've got a few choc ice, he's got a Magnum. If I'm going to Tenerife, he's going to 11 a reef. A few examples. Well, we've made the effort on an epic Sunday race, the type that's basically a Christmas dinner in March. They've come to the table making shitty comments like I would have preferred mash to roast potato. Or if I offer a beer, it's like, nah, don't drink that beer. We've seen him drinking said beer brand in his own house since this. When we called him out on it, the prick tried gaslighting us, denied he'd ever said it. Another example involves this very podcast. Oh, hello. A few months ago, I recommended it to him. You should listen to The Wolf for Now with Romesh and Tom. He replied, nah, I can't stand them. Who is this fucking I took offence to this. I won't hear some dickhead speak ill of my kin. So I asked him if he even knew who you were. Spoiler alert, he got all aggy, started acting like I was some cheeky little kid for daring to ask him. And just desperately tried to change the subject. As I pressed, he refused to answer, and then he refused, even resorted to saying he never heard it in the first. He never said it in the first place. Wow. I'm only giving the tip of the iceberg here, but hopefully you can see how frustrating this is becoming. Anyway, my wife has tried to politely tell them that while they can come as often as they like, we prefer if they didn't stay. This hasn't worked, and they're basically telling us they're staying at our house in a few weeks' time. Do I step in? Do I tell my partner what she should say? Do I put up with it, bottle up the frustration, and let it contribute towards a massive heart attack later in life? Oh God. Again, any ideas or suggestions would be appreciated. Yours sincerely, the Sprocker Spaniel.
Wow, Sprocker, you have got a fucking humongous helmet in your life. you know what, bro? Like, this is very, very close to home. So I don't know how much good advice I can give you because, and I don't know how much of this I can really talk about, but I've literally been in exactly your situation. And the way I handled it means that we just don't have anything to do with our mother-in-law and my stepfather-in-law. Like, at our wedding, we're like, our seats were shit, the food wasn't very, you know, literally, listening to your email is like literally where I was 5, 6, 7 years ago. The same, like, sort of vibe about anything I liked, any films I liked would always be, you know, any football that I liked, players that I liked, even to the point of even my career would be like, at that time, obviously, you talk 5, 6 years ago, he was like, oh, you'll never be on Strictly, or you'll never be going to Jump Call. Like, wow. So...
Are those the markers?
Yeah, no, for him, that's what I mean. Yeah. I was like, yeah, it was never an intention of mine to do either of those things. But if I'm honest, man, I bottled a lot of it up, and I just tried to be positive, tried to be nice, tried to get on with him. And Catherine is, like, you know, the kindest, most lovely person, and she tried as well. And it just, in the end, just got to a situation when we were both like, we can't actually do that. It's like, it's so hard on both of us that, yeah, we just sort of ended up basically all walking away and just like, yeah. And now we have very little to do with each other because I think we probably should have all sat down and talked about stuff and we didn't. We just let things stew and it probably was the worst way of doing it. But if I'm going to be really honest, my Spaniel friend, I think there's a generation thing where certainly men of a certain age and maybe women not so much, but they, you know, it's really hard to get through to them. It's really, really difficult because they're so set in their ways and they're so, they'd rather lose family, friends, loved ones than ever admit they're wrong. Look, man, just in life, and just this is a general thing just across everything, you know, and I'll sort of talk about this when I'm ready because it's something that sort of happened to me in the last week, 10 days. But the thing that I've sort of realised, and it was, reiterated more in my mind, is you have to spend time with positive people and people that make you feel better about yourself. I'm not saying you've got to run around sort of patting people on the back, but you have to spend time with people whose company you enjoy and people that don't make you upset or don't make you feel down. Because life is fucking short, man. It's so short and it can just be snuffed away and it can be gone at any which way or any time. And any time you're spending with people who don't make you feel good about yourself and you're not making them feel good about yourself and it all feels a little bit toxic or negative, it's just a waste of time. You might as well just be making fart noises in the wind and just... So, for me, have the conversation. If he listens, great. If he doesn't, fuck him.
Great advice. Great advice. Sprocket Spaniel, here's my take on it, is that you're going to have to, I mean, they're just annoying, aren't they? I mean, this guy sounds like an absolute weapons-grade prick. But, and those things you can't control. You can't control what he's going to be like. You can't control what a twat is. What you can control is if they stay at your house. I think you have to point blank refuse and just go, it's not a thing. Staying around the house is not happening. Do you know what I mean? And I think you just have to say that. You have to just be absolutely upfront about it and go, and that's going to be awkward as fuck. But I think, what would you rather, have one awkward conversation or have to deal with them coming around and staying over all the time? I mean, I don't, people staying over, there's only a select number of people that I would be happy to have stay around my house. And it has to be out of necessity.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like staying over at some, I don't know why people want to stay at people's houses. I get it if you go to see a friend that like lives miles away and everybody
maybe
wants
Scotland
to,
or something.
Yeah, and everybody wants a drink or whatever and you can't get, I get that. But 20 minutes away, fuck off. Get a taxi. What are you doing? What are you doing? Fuck off home. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it's just mad. So I think, you know, just tell them, man, they got to go. You got to go. You got to go. And yeah, maybe, I mean, beyond that, I would consider calling him out when he's been a prick. I mean, my strategy is always to deal with it in a jokey way. And I know Tom does this as well. You know, when you try and correct someone's behaviour by sort of pretending you're joking about it, but actually being serious. Like, oh, that's,
but yeah. Narcissists don't get that.
You don't reckon?
No.
But I mean, look, good luck, Sprocket Spaniel. It sounds awful. So, I mean, but based on what you've said in your email, he sounds like an absolute prick. You're not in the wrong here. No. So fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. Okay, Tommy D.
Yo.
We come to the end of another episode of The Wolf and Owl. Have you got something? By the way, no is an acceptable answer. I should always.
No, I've got something. Okay, maybe.
Let's do it. Go for it. Good luck.
Young Eaton Crust was the most adventurous boy in his town. His town at times felt too small for him. He'd almost outgrown it by the age of 7 or even 8. Well, he'd always dreamed of adventures on the wild, crazy sea. So at the age of 14 or 15, because this was the olden days and you could get away with working it when you're a bit younger, he joined a boat that was setting sail to try and find new lands and such. He got on the boat and strolled up to the captain and said, "I can't wait to see the ocean and all of the waves and the craziness and bedlam that it brings." And the captain said, "Young man, you're full of all of the ideas of craziness and bedlam, but a lot of the time, the sea runs steady." And for days and for weeks, as the captain said, the sea runs steady. And young Crust got bored and used to look across and look out at sea. And every now and again, a seagull would fly past, and that would just be a sign that there was no craziness. And he'd moan and say, "Oh my God, I wish it was just going to be more crazy." And then one day, a storm hit. It threw the boat around like a little egg cup in a bath as someone gets into the bath and makes loads and loads of movements. Young Crust was absolutely terrified. He tried to find anywhere on the boat that he could find some kind of steadiness and some kind of sound footing, and he was thrown from side to side and he fell on the floor. And the captain grabbed him and took him to his cabin and sat him down. And Crust said, Oh my God, it's so much more rough and so much more crazy than I ever thought. I'm terrified. And the old captain looked at him in the eye and said, "This is what a storm is, young Crust. I've forgotten your first name."
Eaton.
"Yes, listen, young Eaton. When we're sailing or navigating through life, it's always hard to just enjoy the settled moments. We're always looking for a storm or some excitement. But actually, just to sit upon the water as we bob away and take in the seagulls and other stuff that flies around or is in the sea is a beautiful thing." And then Eaton, as a tear rolls down his face, looks at the old captain and says, "I'm going to treasure every day on the boat where we're on settled water from now And the captain ruffled his hair and gave him a glass of rum. And they waited for the storm to die down. And when it did, they both walked out upon the ship's deck. And they looked across and they could see land and they could see for miles and miles. And young Eaton Crush smiled and he took in the serenity of what it was. Sometimes it's fine just to bob along. Don't always look for the storm.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. JT, yeah. Could you play us out of the podcast with a little bit of Camel Toe by Stylo G, please?
Oof.
I think everyone's going to love that tune. Guys, take care of yourselves. We'll see you on the next one. Peace out. One love.
Nice. She turn round and go down slow. She put the pussy for me like said the rent poor. Oh, it's fat so. Every man wanna know. Me we vote for that pussy they like talent show. She bad, she a show. Camel too. She bad, she a show. Camel too. She bad, she a show. Camel too. Me we vote for that pussy they like talent show. Wine for me baby, do it non-stop. You me attack with the must come back. Wine for me baby, do it non-stop. See that pussy they me want cut a ganja.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.